What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
The Home Show with Sinead Ryan on News Talk.
You're listening to The Home Show podcast with me, Sinead Ryan. Coming up today, TV presenter, podcaster and designer Brendan Courtney on his stylish home life. Showcase, which is Ireland's international creative expo, returns to the RDS in Dublin this weekend. We'll be chatting to its organiser and one of the exhibitors. And Home Show regular Denise O'Connor from Optimised Design on the 7 ways to make savings on your home renovation project without compromising on design. Or on the app, which is powered by Go Loud. Now, it's been a cold winter's week in the middle of January, so that means we are looking for as much comfort as we can find, from warming casseroles for dinner to blankets and throws at night, and of course, top telly fare. Now, next week, we are going to have Dermot Bannon in just before the series Room to Improve, which I know everybody is watching, ends. And he will be telling me about his favourite episodes and what's coming up and all of that. But we'll also be taking a look this week at home renovation projects with Denise O'Connor. So what I'd love to know is, if you could get just one thing done in your home this year, what would it be? Would it be new windows, a lovely landscape garden, or maybe a flash and fabulous wet room? Well, I was all set for a revamp inside, had the budget put aside and everything, and then a kitchen leak put pay to that, dripping water in during the rain. So nobody wants to spend the budget on invisible repairs, but sometimes needs must, and I'm afraid that is where mine has gone. But do let me know your fantasy fit out and let me know what plans you may have for your home this year. 53106 to The Home Show, that'll cost you 30 cents, or email us at thehomeshow@newstalk.com, and you're very welcome along to the show this morning. Now, my first guest is one half of the uber talented design duo Lennon Courtney. He is one of Ireland's most stylish men, television presenter, podcast. Don't be scoffing at me. I haven't even done your intro yet. A podcaster with the Go Loud Network, and has recently completed a master's degree in equality, diversity and inclusion. He is a busy man, but he's joining me now and has taken time out to talk all things style, family and the Fair Deal Scheme. Welcome, Brendan Courtney, to the Home Show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having
me. It's lovely to have you here. And I know you have been extremely busy. You've been back in college for the last few years.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit about that later. But many people will remember, first of all, that you filmed a very moving and important series for television in 2017 called We Need to Talk About Dad. And it was about navigating, among other things, the Fair Deal Scheme, yeah, and care options. And, you know, this is something we have spoken about on the Home Show because the home comes into it so much, and all of that thing. And we've talked about it from a kind of a technical or financial viewpoint. But I think most people will have been very struck by your personal navigation through that and how it all happened. And I believe that you've had to look at it again anew.
Yeah. Mom unfortunately took a fall last December before last Christmas, on the 5th actually, and broke her hip coming from work. She's an amazing firecracker. And, you know, a few people have told me about the fall is a turning point for many older people, where they don't come back from that really because of their age. So my mother won't thank me for saying this, but she probably won't be listening. So she's in her late 70s, and she broke her hip and then got very bad delirium and was in hospital for basically 5 months. And so we've had to adjust the house, but we've been had time to do it with Mom, because it wasn't a stroke, it was a broken hip. She has low level dementia, it's not as critical. And so we've put the bathroom downstairs now, we have a stainless stair lift, and I have actually got her 7 day a week home care, morning, lunch and evening. Plus, right, thankfully, my brother and his girlfriend are living there temporarily, so there's a bit of a security blanket there. So because we've kind of come through it with Dad, and we made all the mistakes and found all the gaps in the resource, we kind of were able to plug those pretty quickly. So my sister was saying, you should start a consultancy to navigate that system. But I can do it. I understand the system now. I see the flaws. They're still there, by the way. But the care we've been able to source for Mam in Tala has been remarkable. We're really grateful.
There has, of course, been reports of shortages in home care packages and carers available and all that kind of thing. More so, I suppose, than the nursing homes. We've heard 18 or 20 of them have closed down in recent months because, you know, they say they can't afford with energy price and everything to keep open. Has anything improved in that regard from your perspective?
No. I mean, that's the short answer as far as I can see. There isn't a political will to fix it. All the usual. I could trot out all the tropes now about
€1 billion a year spent propping up Fair Deal.
It still is not. Fair Deal is being piloted for home care. So Fair Deal was, I believe, naively and without malice, created to allow people to use their home as capital to borrow from the government to source nursing home care. Mm. When we went to do it with Dad, we wanted to bring him home, and we couldn't use that loan from the government to source home care. And thousands of families felt the same. And I had bags and bags of letters of families come with the frustration where they wanted to bring their loved one home. The loved one would thrive at home. All the stats are there. I don't have to go into that. Everybody knows that. But so the Fair Deal for home care, which is in a new scheme, home care deal, whatever they're calling it, is still being piloted. Mm. It hasn't been open to the public yet. So there are still people being funneled from hospital, being called bed blockers in hospitals because there's no space for them in nursing home, mm-hmm. and there isn't the funds to take them home. There isn't. So Sláinte Care proposed right care, right place, right time. And so if Sláinte Care was being properly developed, we would have care in the community. We would have those regional centres. We would have those. I mean, Sláinte Care, the advisory board was disbanded when I was on it at the beginning of last year when the two senior people driving forward left. And so it seems to have slipped down between the cracks a little bit. And far bigger issues that would be resolved if Sláinte Care was embedded are keep taking over headlines, what, you know, beds, whatever, you all keep waiting lists, all the things we know about. So really what it comes back to is the will to look after older people in their homes and make that a priority, and also to start treating home care workers properly.
Yeah.
You know, in Ireland, you cannot train on the job. You have to go and train somewhere. So you have to take whatever number of weeks it takes to train. In the UK, in France, in Germany, you can train on the job. You know, they're not paid very well. They don't get holiday pay. They're not very well looked after. And there's a number of bodies that actually represent home care workers. And what home care workers do, and as we age as a population, we will start to actually really respect what they do and really value what they do. But that's still to get there. We're starting to value nurses a little bit, but not enough. You know, we're seeing that healthcare is actually as important as education.
You know, this is a growing demographic. We have been told, you know, that there's going to be far more people over the age of 65 than under the age of 65, really, in a few short decades. What would you say to people who are navigating this system now? Because you've done it, you've made all the mistakes, you've done the hard way. Is it just plug on and be persistent, or like, should there be a one-stop shop for all of this, or what would you hope to see?
Yeah,
your turn or my turn, let's say.
Yeah, I suppose there's a standout moment in the documentary where we got somebody from the HSE to come and sit down with me and my mother, and my mother and I, excuse me, and the application form, and actually halfway through, an exasperated representative of the HSE said, "I actually don't understand it."
Okay.
And it was really quite shocking, and that she let us use that in the documentary, because you know what, as she was there to do her best, she wanted to do her best, she didn't understand it, she wasn't trained properly, she's not an accountant. And actually, would you believe, that was the other part of it, I actually studied accountancy, I'm good with this stuff, I'm good at application forms, I'm good at sourcing arts grants, you know, I'm good at commissions. So it's a very complex system.
Okay.
And it's all, you know, I think there's also an attitude to moving online and just leaving old people behind. So bank accounts and accessing your tax information, all that kind of stuff is leaving people behind. So I think with Fair Deal, like, even there's a big paragraph on the top of the Fair Deal application form and says, you may not be in a position to fill this form in yourself. Please nominate the person, and person nominated, please fill in your name and address. So you have to get someone to help you. So I think there's still nobody in the community helping people with this scheme. You know, there just isn't. It just isn't there.
Well, hopefully with the piloting, and I know the home care package thing has been a big standout, as you say, not a failing of Fair Deal, but just something they never got around to.
I wouldn't be afraid to use the word failing. That's a failing.
Okay.
Yeah, it is, yeah. 100%.
And, hopefully that they will be able to push along, because I think a lot of people are at the point now where they can understand the family home and this kind of emotional attachment that we have to passing it on to the next generation. I think people understand, look, this is an asset and I prefer my mum or my dad to get the very best of care, even if it means some of this has to be used
for it. I'm delighted to give it. I mean, when I first encountered Fair Deal, I thought, this is brilliant. Mum and dad, you know, the biggest achievement of their lives, in my opinion, was that they were mortgage free by their 60s.
Yeah. You know, it was such a great thing. They educate kids, they move on, and this asset then looked after them. All right, okay. Now, one of the other programmes that you present and that I love watching, and I think it's just, again, the emotional hit of it, is Keys to My Life.
Thank you so
know,
much.
Where you kind of bring celebrities back to their childhood home and look at it.
This is perfect for this show, isn't it?
It is.
I just realised the tie-ins here. Yeah,
You can come and present the home show anytime, Brenton. But what always strikes me is when I see people walking in to their old childhood home, and I have never been back to mine,
not the one I lived in until I was 12.
Kind of say something like, it's everything's so small, it's much smaller.
Yeah. Have you gone back to your old school?
I went back once.
And the corridors seemed lower.
15 years ago.
You feel like Lilliput, everything was
smaller, and there were no nuns walking around. Yeah. You know, I kept jumping behind, waiting on them to come out from behind the pillars.
Yeah.
What do you think it is about that evokes that memory? Have you been back to your own childhood home?
I had a very spooky encounter. I was filming with the brilliant and gorgeous Áine Lawler from Morning Ireland.
Yeah.
And she's actually an incredible story. She's from Artane, won a scholarship to Trinity, followed in Joe Duffy's footsteps and became the student president of Student Union in the 70s. Like, smart as paint, that woman is. And actually made, but very from somewhere, well, lots of Northside Dublin, Coolock, Artane is a sprawling, one of the first big suburbs built in the 70s. 60s and 70s, and my sat-nav took me down a winding road, round a corner, past a green I recognise, which I haven't been back to since I was 8, since the day we moved out, and right outside my childhood home, which is on a row of about 300 houses. And I was like, it's the same railing, the same front door, the same twist in the pole at the side of the house that we did when we were kids climbing it, same windows. It was spooky. So I took a picture and I sent it to my two sisters on the family group, and they were like, oh my God, get out of there, what happened? And tragically, there was a lot of tragedy in that house when we were children, and we left it and we moved off to the, mum and dad bought a house in Kingswood and Talla, and it was a big step up the ladder for them, and it was all great, great, great going on. But I have never been back to that house, and I actually sat in the car and I completely welled up. I was completely overrun with emotion. Loads of memories came back. Smells, like weird smells, like the smell of warm Weetabix with hot milk. Like that smell of going to school came back in my first days at school. So it's very emotional to go back, because those memories are locked away. They're there, you know, and only sometimes really good therapy unlocks them, you know, or me pushing you through your childhood front door will unlock those memories.
And would you have ever been tempted just to knock on the door and say, can I just have a quick look?
It gave me a whole new perspective on the show. I'd be terrified to knock on the door.
Why?
Well, I think it'd be really weird. Hi, nice to live here.
Well, apart from anything else, I suspect it wasn't just that, though. It wasn't the intrusion. There seems to be something that you're afraid to see.
I don't, because it was such a visceral feeling. It was physical. It was in my stomach and my chest tightened. And, you know, when you get nervous, when you get a fright, or when you feel like, you know, when you see an ex when you're a teenager, you know, that feeling that takes you over and you're like, oh, that's interesting. It's physically affecting me. It was physical. It was really emotional. And it just.
But they seem to have been bad memories rather than.
Yeah, they were very sad. My two sisters died in that house, side of me, of cot deaths, and one had pneumonia. And so I don't really remember much of that because I was obviously a toddler. But I do remember that was a house full of sadness, you know, and that came right back to me. And then when we moved out, obviously, and then my mum was a hairdresser and trained as a bereavement counsellor. So, you know, there was some good came from that horrible tragedy, and they were only in their 20s, so there was a lot of confusion and tragedy in the early 70s in that house.
And it must have sat with you, even though you said you were 8 when you left. There must have been some essence
my
of
parents,
that around you,
because we were very young when they had us. So at the school gates, my parents were always the youngest school, were all the parents at school gates, so they were very liberal and very modern thinking, and so they always spoke about our sisters. They never hid it. They told us about them in a way I think that a therapist would tell you to do now. They say, talk about the children, don't leave a cloud around them. So we would pray to Orla and Ashley when we'd lose our toys, or pray to Orla and Ashley when it's coming to your birthday and you wanted a bike, you know. So Orla and Ashley were always in part of the family. But there was on their birthdays, and Ashley's twin Deborah is my other sister who's married with children now. And on Deborah's birthday, it was a very weird, melancholy day because my mother would never say it, but we knew there should have been two on her birthday.
Yeah.
So it was a very sad little, but we had amazing childhood. Like that, it was encumbered in that, but that core element of that house, we knew my mother in her, you know, early 20s, early 30s, couldn't wait to leave that house. She wanted to be gone. Mm. And so when we moved to the new house, the curtains lifted and the wind light came in and there was a new life for us. And we never looked
hopefulness
back.
Of,
so I'd
of
never been
future.
Back to that house. And we had an aunt that lived nearby there, but we never drove by it. In fact, my dad would drive the long way around to my aunt's rather than drive by that house. So they never wanted to go back. It's quite interesting, isn't it?
Your mum's an extraordinary woman. And
she is, yeah.
I remember her.
That says, Nula. Fine. How's your mum? Fine. How's your mum? Fine. How's your mum? Fine.
See, isn't it interesting though, the impact, the effect that she had on audiences, even though the show was about you and your dad.
Yeah.
It was actually your mom who shone through with her. Oh, she's so beautiful, of course, but also her strength and her.
She's funny, yeah. She's a she's very charismatic. Yeah. The camera loves her, obviously. and you know, imagine growing up under that. She's like growing up with Joan Crawford.
Well, I know where you got all the style from. That's now, you know, clear your path that
she
you
doesn't
took.
Mind. But it used to irritate Dad. They'd be shopping in Dunn's in the square or somewhere, you know, and someone would come up to them and say, oh, saw you on the telly. And does he dress you? Does he undress you? And she'd say, yes, he does. But of course, she's very stylish. My mum was a hairdresser, you know.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm writing the book of her life at the moment. And
are you?
I am, yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's actually the history of Irish women's reproductive rights told through her eyes called Mammy Issues. It's amazing. But she had quit her good job of £5 a week and wrote to stores and went and worked in hair fashions up on Harcourt Street in the 60s for like a pound a week to train as a hairdresser, but she was instantly surrounded by glamour and hair and rich women from the south side and blah blah blah.
So picked up all the glamour.
Okay. Yeah, so very very always very glamorous.
Yeah,
made all her own clothes as well, interestingly.
Yeah.
But I get on stage now and I'm doing any gig around. It could be a charity fashion show or it could be a talk, and I say before I start, Mom's great. How's your mother?
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
Maybe it's your mom should be presenting this.
Yeah, she'd be well up for it now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, I mean, you know, obviously then there was, you know, clearly you didn't lick it off the ground, as they say, and the kind of the style has dominated your life then in different ways since then. So look, it's the home show. I have to ask you, do you have the most fabulous house?
I have a very... probably everybody says this, but I have a very mixed taste, I don't like saying eclectic, it's such an annoying word, isn't it? In that I had a best friend, Alan Duffy, who got lots of people listening will remember Alan. He was the maitre d' of the Unicorn, amazing guy. And he sadly passed away tragically, very suddenly, with a brain aneurysm 5 years ago, just weeks before my dad died. That was a brilliant year.
Indeed.
And Alan was my style. I suppose from interiors point of view, he was very opinionated. Like you'd go out to the shops and you come back and he'd rearrange all your artwork. Like he's very specific, but he was brilliant. So he really influenced me in time, you know, in that I'm the kind of person who'd be in New York now and I'd buy a little knickknack. You know, I bought this plastic 1950s. It's like 10 centimetres by 5 centimetres, so it's a little square piece of plastic, but it's a 1950s television and the two dials, you turn them and a salt and pepper pops up out of it, and it was $150.
Oh,
it was $150. Out of my partner was like, what? But it's made in the 60s and it's one of my prized possessions. It's a little tiny thing, and then I have lots of little gorgeous things.
A quirk of humour.
I collect cushion covers.
Cushion covers?
Yeah.
And do you have just the covers or do you have cushions all over
Vietnam,
the place?
Just when I'm in Vietnam or if I'm in Thailand or if I'm in Florida. I'll have a little cushion cover and just flatten it down.
Some people have magnets. You bring home a cushion cover. Yeah. What's your favourite piece of furniture, Brendan?
A shelf that Alan made me put up in the kitchen. So he was like, yeah, they're awful, 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 awful. And he said, take down all those top cupboards, all the, you know, the presses as we call them here, all across the top of the kitchen.
Yeah.
And it was genius because I just took down all the top cupboards, recovered the front cupboards, put a nice countertop on, and then put a 5-inch oak shelf right the way along the back wall, which is very trendy now.
Open shelving is all the rage.
Open shelf, but I have that years. I have that 10 years.
And it forces you to be tidy as well.
It's kind of cluttered, but I don't mind that, you know, it's kind of living and life. My house, only thing that annoys me at the house is it's a bit of a showroom. I'm a bit of a clean freak. I walked into the living room this morning, so it doesn't look like anybody lives here because I go to bed at night and I clean before I go to bed.
Yeah.
I just admit like that, a bit ordered.
And some people like to kind of keep something in their house. Now, I know like lots of successful people have kind of a gallery wall of look at me with this person and this person and this person.
Oh, God, I hate that.
But you have a statue of yourself.
Oh, Look at me giving out about the vanity of it all. It was a 3D. It blew my mind. I went to a fashion show and a friend of mine was running this fashion show in London, and it was at the start of 3D printing. So it was 10 years ago. And this very expensive high-end fashion show, who shall remain nameless, obviously spent a fortune. And they had 180 cameras in a room pretty the same size as the studio we're in. So the cameras were everywhere, all over the place. Yeah. And you just stood there for a minute and all the cameras took a picture, and then a 3D printed a statue of you, which is about the same size as an Action Man or Barbie doll. So it's that high and it's mounted, and they sent it to me. So I put it in a glass dome because I think it's funny.
Of course you did.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And every time people come to the house, my Adam goes, look at, he has a statue of himself in the corner. Now it's a tiny statue, but it's cute.
How could you miss it?
Yeah, no,
very, everybody should have one
statue of,
of yourself, just in case you forget who you are. Yeah. Right. Wonderful. Fantastic. OK, so the shelf and the 3D Brenton Barbie doll.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
And anything else that other people might consider a little bit eclectic?
I have a pink Perspex box, which is about 8 inches high. And it's a box and about 4 inches wide. So it's a rectangular box, if you imagine. It sits on its rectangular side. And it is actually it's pink Perspex. You can see the workings through the plastic. And it is a clock that projects onto the wall. And I bought it about 25 years ago in Habitat with Alan, actually. He bought one as well. And they were £25. And everybody admires it. It's just this little clock. You just flick the switch on and it projects onto the wall. And it's stunning. It's so cute. I'd love to make one myself. It must be really easy to make.
Fantastic. All right. Well, it does sound like now we all want to pay a visit to Brendan Courtney's house.
You can actually pay a visit on my Instagram. When I started the series of Keys to My Life, so it's way down in the reels on Instagram.
Yeah.
I thought, as a bit of promo to get the series started. So we're going into series four. So it's 3 series ago. So how long ago was that? And it's before COVID, obviously. And I just said to people, do you want to see around my house? So I did an Instagram tour of my house.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah, okay. So we can have a look at it. Yeah. That Instagram?
At Brendan Courtney.
At Brendan Courtney. All right. Well, people can go and have a look at that. And of course, you have the podcast.
Yes.
Which runs on the Go Loud Network. Remind our listeners about that.
It's called the Lennon Courtney Podcast. And this year, we're going to answer difficult questions. It's called Helpful Hints for Modern Living. And it's really all about equality, diversity and inclusion in the home, in the schoolyard, in the workplace, socially, why use pronouns? What can I say? What can I not say? So we've got loads of letters in from people. So we're asking people if they want any tricky modern conundrums answered. We've both just done the Masters in Equality, Diversity, Inclusion. We really want to talk about it.
Yeah.
So ask us any questions at Lennon Courtney on Instagram.
Brilliant. And we had Sonia on actually a few weeks ago talking about her fantastic charity, The Work Equal, where they're helping women to get back to work. And she was super on that. So do check that out, folks, if you want. And have a listen to it. Brendan Courtney, thank you so much for joining us
on
the Home Show
this
morning. It's been a delight talking
with
you.
Yeah, you too.
And the best of luck with everything that you're doing, including the book. So let us know when that gets published. If you'd like to get in touch with us today, you can text us at 53106 for 30 cent, or you can email the show at thehomeshow@newstalk.com. Now, founded in 1976 by the Design and Crafts Council of Ireland, Showcase, which is Ireland's international creative expo, starts back at the RDS from tomorrow through to next Tuesday. So I'm delighted to be joined now by the chair of Showcase, Mary Palmer, and by Emmett Bosanet, creator and founder of Copper Creations, who is exhibiting at that. You're both very welcome along to the Home Show. Mary, let me start with you. It's been going an awful long time. How long, tell me about the origins of Showcase.
Well, this is the 48th year, and started quite a small show, and it has grown from that. This year, it's not quite as large as it was at its peak, which was, I think, 2019, but we have over 380 exhibitors. So it's quite a big show.
Mm.
And it's one of the biggest trade shows in Ireland, and it focuses on Irish makers, Irish businesses, as well as a few international businesses.
Yeah. And do you find that in terms of trade shows, exhibiting Irish products for export, like are buyers abroad very interested in, like, we've such a great tradition of artisan creators and crafters and artists and all that. Is there a particular interest in Irish art?
Always. There's always an interest, particularly coming from the US and the UK. The numbers are possibly down a little bit in the US, but I think the markets are a bit funny in the US at the moment. But UK numbers are up. We also have visitors from France and Germany and Japan.
Well, one of the exhibitors that they will all be coming to see is Emmett. Now, Emmett, you're the founder of Copper Creations. And like the name suggests, of course, you do all things copper and urban design and all of that. It's beautiful stuff. I mean, that whole look is really on trend right at the moment. But it's also very sustainable. And that's a very important part of your business. Tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, thanks so much. And it's I suppose sustainability is an ethos of Copper Creation. It's why I started it. What I do is I use reclaimed and recycled material. So I'll take old offcuts from the heating and plumbing industry and the industrial industry of copper piping, brass fittings, different pieces, and trying to create new interesting homewares products. So at the moment I have a new collection called the Tesla Collection. It's a range of table lamps and floor lamps. There's 5 table lamps and 6 floor lamps, and yeah, it's I suppose the sustainability is where I'm coming from with it, and trying to create something new from something old.
I presume that was named after Nikola Tesla, not Elon Musk.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've always been fascinated with Nikola Tesla since a young child. There's such an amazing amount of inventions. Where we are today, radio wouldn't be possible without him. He was one of the forebearers of inventing the technology behind radio and signal transmission. So yeah, it's an interesting story as to where the collection came from. I met a astrophysicist in the summer called Mark Langtry, who has one of the only large-scale Tesla coils in Ireland. So basically a Tesla coil takes low current electricity and turns it into really high voltage, which creates beautiful arcs of lightning. So we went down to his lab and he wanted to show me it, and to say my mind was blown was an understatement. But from that point, I took inspiration from the arcs of lightning and tried to bend and form the copper pipes into the shapes that I seen and make lamps out of it.
And so, make art out of it. Does it help that I know you have an engineering background? You trained as an engineer.
Yeah.
How does that inform the work that you do now, which is very creative, and you know, I know engineering, people think of, you know, as a very serious topic, and people are solving, you know, kind of practical issues, but actually it is, there's a lot of design in it.
Absolutely. One of the things I struggle with a lot is people say, oh, you're so artistic, you're so, where did you train, you know? And I'm like, I'm not classically
trained artist. They were expecting you to say the National College of Art and Design.
Yeah, exactly. I would love to say I have, but no, it's a degree in engineering. But yeah, it's, as you said, engineering is very creative. You've got to think about everything, how things go together, and you know, you've a different type of a brain, but it's still creative in its own right. I'd be very methodical, very mathematical, so a lot of the designs would be structural, geometric, symmetry, that kind of thing. I would never call myself an artist. I'm more of an engineer that's sort of fallen into this creativity, and just, you know, if I could get all the ideas in my head down on paper, I'd have a million different things. But it's coming to blend the two. So, you know.
So when it comes to showcasing at something like this, where you're looking at buyers, maybe trade buyers who mightn't, you know, they'd have a kind of harder nose to the cost and the profit margins and will it sell in my shop or in my home country or whatever. What kind of questions do you think that they'd have for you? What do they want to know about what it is that you do?
Yeah, they're over the last few years. So this is my 4th year exhibiting physically at Showcase, and we did one virtually during the pandemic. So what I've noticed from maybe back in 2019 to now is that the buyers are much more astute in terms of what the item you're selling is, where it was made, who made it, where the materials came from. There's a traceability there, and they're more conscious to what they're buying and selling than they were a few years ago, which is great to see.
And that's presumably because their customers are saying, hold on, what's the provenance for this? Is it sustainable? Where did it come from? I don't want to be, you know, maybe buying anything that's fast fashion.
Yes, exactly. And their customers are coming in and saying the same thing to them. So they're just translating back to the designers and the makers and the creators, which is really circular. And it's great to see sustainability not anymore, in my opinion, being a buzzword. You know, for the last few years, it was kind of like, oh yeah, sustainability. It's like, you know, buzzword. I think it's more of an ethos now, and it's more ingrained into people, and you know, everyone is more conscious of what they're buying, where it's coming from, and trying to reduce mass consumption and buying more curated kind of products and stuff as well.
Mary, do you find that when it comes to the exhibitors that are going to be here, that sustainability and that push for reusing and recycling is a much bigger theme than maybe it was in years
absolutely,
gone by?
Absolutely, absolutely. As it is within the organisation, within the Design and Crafts Council and within Showcase Ireland, it is hugely important. From everything down to, as you say, the sourcing and the packaging and how it's delivered and trying to do things in the most considered way possible. So it is of huge importance and value to, I think, to everyone at this stage.
Yeah, and it's become, it's a lot less fashion and now necessary, people expect it.
I think so. I think so, more and more. I suppose there's still some who don't really take much notice, but I think most people think about it a bit.
Yeah.
Even if it's not at their forefront, they're still aware of it. And they might look at something and say, this is nice, there's not a lot of packaging. So they don't want to see excessive packaging. They don't want to see something that's quite small in a huge box.
Yeah. And with all the bubble wrap and the, the packaging, yeah. I know, it drives me potty when I see that, actually, for something that you kind of think could have been just packaged much more simply. What are the most popular kinds of things that we export from after an exhibition like this? Is it art? Is it painting? Is it?
I think there's a lot of knitwear. There's a lot of textiles. There are homeware such as candles and soaps and skincare products, and as well as homeware items such as emmets, furnishings, lamps, those types of products.
Yeah, people love that because we're good at that, aren't we?
We are, and it's quite a breadth. It's actually quite an amazing breadth. Yeah. I mean, there's giftware, homeware, wellness, jewelry. Jewelry is another huge exporter. Mm. And quite a range within each of those as well. Different styles, different approaches. Some are doing very traditional work. Some are doing really contemporary work. Some do a bit of both, which is also nice to see.
Capturing all the audiences.
Yeah.
The kind of the Americans after the outside, yes. And then the really punchy stuff. Emmett, when it comes to this showcase, now this isn't just kind of you standing behind a counter like saying, look at my stuff. This is a proper selling job for you, is it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's interesting to look at the journey I've gone on from, you know, starting in 2019. I had very little information myself. I was overly confident probably, and you know, booked a stall and I was kind of out at the end. I booked it too late and I was like, buy all the Christmas decorations and stuff like that. So I've learned so much, and from connecting with the Design and Crafts Council of Ireland and the local enterprise offices and receiving kind of training from them, it has pushed me each year to progress. So I'm really excited about
looking
this
to sell out.
Yeah, well, hopefully. And I've got a good display plan, so if you're around, please pop down and come and say hi.
All right, will indeed. And of course, Emma can be found on Copper Creations with a K and a K, and you can check out his stuff there. And finally, Mary, just give us the times running from tomorrow Sunday through to Tuesday, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And can anybody go?
No, it is trade show.
Okay.
So it is only for businesses.
Okay.
Now, you wouldn't necessarily have to be a retail shop. You could be a boutique, or you could be a salon you'd be selling product as well. But you do have to be a business.
Well, we know that an awful lot of them do listen to the home show, and people who are looking for inspo maybe for coming up trends and things to stock this year and next year. So
I would say if you're not a retailer, you can still go to the website and look at who is making what. Okay. Which can be interesting.
Where can people find that?
It's showcaseireland.ie.
Okay, and then the Instagram is at showcase_Ireland. Mary Palmer, Chair of Showcase, and Emmett Bossonet of Copper Creations, thanks a million for joining us on The Home Show.
Thank you.
This This is the Home Show podcast with me, Sinead Ryan. I am delighted to welcome back Denise O'Connor from Optimized Design into the studio. Is it too late to say Happy New Year, Denise?
No, I think it's still okay.
It's still okay. Happy New Year, Sinead. Now look, whether you're building a new house or renovating your existing home, trying to stay on budget without cutting corners can be a challenge. Denise, you put up an Instagram post on your Instagram site, Optimized Design.
Yeah.
Which talked about different ways that you can cut back on the budget without cutting back on style. So we said we'd have you on to chat through a few of them. Now, we're not going, we are stylish people on the Home Show. We're not going to kind of cut back on everything. So give us an idea of the kind of things we can do for larger home projects.
Sure. Well, I think, yeah, it's such a challenge for people because when you approach any kind of redesign, home design project, you're going to have your wish list. And then there's the budget. And it can be really hard to reconcile both of those. But the good news is there are ways to compromise without compromising on that overall vision, the overall style and the design that you're looking to achieve. So one of the best ways is to try and avoid anything that's non-standard, particularly something like glazing. So if you go for a bespoke glazing or some sort of, say, sliding door that's way taller than something that's off the shelf, there's going to be a significant cost implication for that. So going with the standard glazing options, definitely that's going to make a massive impact.
Because they're off the peg kind of thing.
They're off the peg.
Yeah. Now, yeah. Sometimes you can't avoid that if you happen to live in a funny shaped house. Or, you
exactly.
Know, but you're saying don't go for the bespoke stuff if there's an alternative that you can just say
you can use.
Standard.
Exactly. Okay. Or even like choosing your frames. You know, you'll find they have standard frames rather than trying to customize or... Colours are another example. Some will be standard, others are off standard. So try and stick within the standard ranges where it's all possible.
Okay, and there's so much choice now between
huge
windows
choice.
And doors
yeah.
And all that, that, yeah. That people can do that. Okay, brilliant. Now, of course, one of the features people love in the house, I'd love one myself, don't have one, is the wet room. Are they still a thing?
Yeah, really, really popular. I think that sort of clean look, the flush floor is super popular, but it is a trickier detail to fit, to install. You need somebody who's very experienced. There are some fabulous products on the market now that make that easier, but they are more expensive. So a really good alternative is to go with a low profile shower tray. So they're amazing now. They come in different colours as well, so they can blend in with your tiles. They're much easier to fit, so your installation cost would be lower and the cost of the product itself is lower, plus less likely to get issues with leaks because, you know, you need a very experienced tradesperson if they're going to be fitting small tiles and that sort of wet room floor in your house.
Okay, so it's the kind of the appearance of a wet room
exactly.
And everything on the level.
Yeah.
It's not really.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good tip. All right, anything else?
The other one, which is a really simple one, is to go for standard white sockets, light fittings, and I know you're making a face, Sinead, but I know it sounds really kind of boring and not as nice as,
yeah.
Say, the chrome or the metal versions. The thing about them are, though, they just disappear. So if you think about your ceiling, you know, if you've got white light fittings in your ceiling, they're going to disappear. They're not going to stand out. So it can actually look less cluttered. It is a lot less expensive.
So you mean your kind of eye passes over them?
Exactly. You just don't notice them.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And again, remember that particularly, say, your sockets and switches, those are things you can fit at a later date. So if budget really is an issue, think about just installing the white ones as a stopgap and then you can come back
all
in
right,
time
okay.
And, yeah,
okay, because they're ferociously expensive,
they're
those
incredibly
chrome and brushed steel and
exactly.
All that.
Exactly, and especially if you go into then the brass, the, you know, the antique bronze, all of these, they're very expensive.
And especially if you're getting them for all the plugs because, not even the light fittings, because you've so many.
Absolutely, yeah. Or another tip is to pick one room. So maybe it's your open plan space and, you know, splash out there, but keep everything else nice and simple.
Okay. All yeah. Right. Fantastic idea. Okay. I know people are feeling, oh, already I'm compromising. But no, I think that idea of doing it piecemeal, don't get, you know, if your budget
yeah.
Doesn't stretch this time, maybe that's next year's project.
Exactly.
Kind of okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Now, when it comes to the roof, and I speak from experience here, you have to be really careful about
yes.
What you get and how you do it and all of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's expensive anyway. So what are your tips for keeping that cost low?
I think it's just look at the materials you're using. And often there are alternatives to the more expensive ones. A classic one is the metal roof. So like zinc, which is so popular at the moment. You'd see it on dormer extension roofs, flat roofs, that sort of thing. Fiberglass is a brilliant option. So, you know, that can be...
really?
Yeah, so they can they can finish that to paint it in any colour. So we can actually look, give the appearance of a metal roof, say if they trim the top with an aluminium capping. You can achieve a similar look for a much less cost. So really worth having a good discussion with your architect, your builder, understanding, look, where are the options here? What are the options? How can I achieve a similar look, but pull back on the cost?
Okay, good idea. Fiberglass. I wouldn't have thought that for the roof now, but obviously, and it's an insulation as well. So
exactly.
It should work. Okay. Yeah. And then finally, a tip on, you know, it's not a saving to get a cheap builder sometimes.
Yeah, this is really important. And it goes across the board for all the trades. Don't just be, you know, it's very tempting to try and just jump in and go with the lowest price. It's not always the best solution. So really research the people that you're working with. I mean, poor workmanship is something that is going to cost you a fortune down the line, particularly when it comes to plumbing, anything like that. So research your tradespeople, get references where possible. And yeah, be very careful about who you decide to work with.
Yeah, because it's no saving if you just pay twice.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
All right. Denise O'Connor, thank you so much for bringing us those actually very practical tips now for anybody who is planning home renovations for 2023. Just remind us where people can find out more about you.
So Optimised Design is the company. And then you can check out our Instagram account. There's loads of home tips on Optimise Home. On Instagram.
Of course there are. And you do all your videos and people love checking them out. All right. Well, Denise O'Connor, thanks a million for joining us again on the Home Show this week.
My pleasure. Thanks, Sinead.
And that is all we've time for, folks, I'm afraid. If you'd like to get involved in the show, if you have a question for me or for, more importantly, for any of our guests or a topic you'd like us to cover on the Home Show that relates to you, please get in touch. We are always open to hearing from listeners, whether it is by text on 53106 or by email at thehomeshow@newstalk.com. I'm over on Instagram at SineadRyan100. I know a lot of people like to get in touch with me there. I'll do my best. I'll certainly pass it along to the experts, put it that way.
The Home Show with Sinead Ryan. Saturday morning at 8 on News Talk.